Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.
David Sterrett is the editor-in-chief of the Quarterly Review of Film and Video, contributing writer at Cineast, film professor at the Maryland Institute College of Art, and Robin Hood Radio's very own critic. He joins us weekly. The films Dumb Money, My Love Affair with Marriage, and Megalomaniac.
Well, once again, this week I would like to talk about three movies which are quite different from each other. And the first one is called Dumb Money. And we find out in the movie that this, if you didn't already know it, that this is what Wall Street people used to call and maybe still call ordinary investors, just regular people who just have a little bit of money that they want to stick in the stock market and see if they can make some more money out of that. So that's what dumb money means. And yes, this movie is very much about the contrast between the small investors, the so-called little people in the stock market, and the great big huge Wall Street people. So, by the way, this is a movie which is directed by Craig Gillespie, and the film I think he's best known for before now was I, Tonya, about the great brouhaha over Tonya Harding and figure skating and all that. And Dumb Money is a similar movie in some respects. Again, it takes a real-life incident and turns it into a very energetic, sort of constantly hopping from one thing to another kind of comedy drama. Dumb Money is one of the unusual films that begins as it's introducing its main characters one by one. It tells us what the net worth of each one is. And this ranges from the billions down to below zero. So that's kind of an amusing little touch at the beginning. And we certainly meet a whole lot of fabulously wealthy people. And we meet a whole lot of people who aren't wealthy at all, but would probably like to have a little bit more money than they do. So that is where we start with Dumb Money. Then we meet our main character, who is a young guy named Keith Gill. And again, all of this is based on something that really happened back in 2020 and 2021. And Keith Gill is a young guy. Oh my gosh, the word nerd pops up a whole lot in this movie. And that is very much what Keith Gill is. He is a YouTube poster and a Reddit poster, a big social media guy. His virtual name, his online name is Roaring Kitty, because he surrounds himself with all this crummy looking sort of kitty cat imagery. And what he does is he starts a trend involving a particular stock. The company is called GameStop. And it's an electronics company, and it's a small company, and it's video games basically, and it has very, very little going for it. It's a little company that may not survive very long. But what Keith Gill did and does in the movie is to get a whole lot of really little tiny investors all pouring money toward, or pouring what little money they have, toward GameStop. And what this does is, it really causes trouble for the great big huge hedge funds, where there has been a whole lot of short selling, which is basically when a company, when an investor bets that the stock of a company will go down. You basically borrow the money to pay for a stock, and then when the stock goes down, when you pay back the money, you pay it on the lower price. So short selling is a big part of this movie, and what we have are all of these people who are not banded together, but sort of loosely assembled by Roaring Kitty, and they all put money into this little business. And this really hurts all these huge overdogs. The underdogs hurt all the overdogs who have been short-selling this company in the expectation that they will be able to make its stock diminish to practically nothing, and then they will make a huge amount of money. However, Roaring Kitty's campaign succeeds extremely well. And yes, it is causing a whole lot of trouble for the gigantic hedge funds and the huge investors and the people who are worth millions and billions, and that is what the movie is about. That may sound dull. It's all about money. In fact, the title is Dumb Money, but it's very lively, I have to say. It's a very energetic movie that is always kind of hopping from one character to another, from one situation to another, and it keeps things really going with a whole lot of energy. I remember when all this was going on, I paid a little bit of attention to it back in 2020 and 2021. And it's interesting to see it recreated in this movie. Again, it's a pretty entertaining movie. I do think that the more you know about maybe not the exact situation with GameStop back in the early 2020s, but the more you kind of are familiar with all of the abbreviations and shorthands that are used in the world of finance, the more easy a time you will have relating to this movie. But I think it's definitely a general audience film, and it really goes out of its way, I think, to be as entertaining as possible for as wide a viewership as possible. Has a great cast. Paul Dano, who I always think of as sort of a nerdy-looking actor, I don't mean to be insulting by that, but that's sort of the persona, I think, that he usually has, is just perfect as Keith Gill, our nerdy main character. He's really, really good. I always like seeing Paul Dano, and he's just terrific in this movie, and other people in the film as well. Vincent D'Onofrio and Seth Rogen and America Ferrara and various others play a whole lot of people. Again, some of them very wealthy, some of them the total opposite of wealthy, but all the involved in this thing in one way or another. Generally, as investors really hoping that things will work out. And for some people, I will reveal now, they do. And for some people, not so much. So it's a good movie. It's a fun movie. I don't think it's a great movie. And I'm not sure that it really suggests much more than telling this particular story. That is, we get a pretty good account of what happened with GameStop and this great little crusade back in the early 2020s. But we don't really get an idea that it changed anything in the long run. So, I kind of wish the movie had a little bit more serious social critique built into it. As it is, it's an entertaining David and Goliath story, which is kind of how it's being promoted, and I had a good time watching it. So Dumb Money, not such a dumb movie. In fact, it's a fairly smart movie. Our second film, as I said, is completely different from the first one, and it is called My Love Affair with Marriage. And it is an animated film, an animated feature. We don't get that many of them on American movie screens. And it comes from three countries where sometimes we don't get a whole lot of movies either. It is partly an American production, but it also comes from Luxembourg and Latvia. Latvia is where a good deal of the story takes place. So the main character is a young woman. She starts as a little girl in the movie, named Zelma. And she is, as a little girl, she is trying to figure out exactly how a girl, a woman, a female, should comport herself in the world of men. She really wants love. She really wants marriage. At least she thinks she wants those things in the very early part of her life. She isn't really clear just what those things are, but that's what she wants. And she wants to know how she should behave, how she should relate herself to men, and that sort of thing. So we see her figuring some of these things out as a little girl, and then we see her growing into a somewhat older woman, and she eventually finds herself married to a guy named Sergey, and that doesn't work out all that well. And then she meets another guy who is much more glamorous. He's from Scandinavia, and his name is Bo. And he, by the way, his voice is provided in this animation by the best known to American audiences of the actors, Matthew Modine. And now she has to figure out how she's going to relate to Bo, and they have a much better relationship than it was with Sergey, and things move on, and that's basically what the story is. It's about, again, the movie is called My Love Affair with Marriage, and so it is all about this little girl, and then teenager, and then young woman, who is always having a love affair with marriage, but it is a love affair that does not always go smoothly. Now, this is an animation, and it's done in a sort of an old-fashioned animated style. It's very limited animation. It's very 2D, not 3D, in its animation, although the backgrounds are done with much more care. So in a way, it's kind of like looking at the Saturday morning cartoon stuff that we have. It is not a sophisticated animation. However, even though the visuals are not very elaborate, the story itself is very entertaining. And I should also mention that this is a musical. So we have musical numbers here and there in the film. And then at the other end of the scale from the musical numbers, we have various moments when the movie literally goes into biology. This is a movie that takes a very sort of mechanical view of just what sexuality and even emotion are. And so we're constantly getting little illustrated lectures on how certain hormones are released in the brain and how they affect this other part of the brain and how they affect the body. So within its fairly limited running time, it's not quite an hour and a half, well, actually a little over an hour and a half long, My Love Affair with Marriage is quite a varied film. It's an animated film, but of course it has real people doing the voices. It's partly a musical. It's partly a sort of a little biology. psychology lecture, and it integrates all of these things into a fairly cohesive package that is not exactly gripping, but that I always found entertaining to watch. It has a very good voice cast, Matthew Modine and the others, and it's just it's a nice little movie. And again, in many ways, it's quite a feminist movie, and I think it's always refreshing to see that. So, My Love Affair with Marriage, a movie that you might want to have at least a brief love affair with of your own. It's a nice little international production. And finally, our last movie, oh, it is so different from the other two. The title, not exactly a cheery title. It is called Megalomaniac. And it's not exactly, I think, about a megalomaniac, although it is about somebody who suffers in a very profound way from megalomania, in fact, more than one person, because this is really a movie about serial killing. And I will say right now, this is a horror movie, and it is a very, very graphic, explicit, and extreme horror movie. So if you're interested in that, keep listening. If you're not interested in that, this is probably a movie you're not going to want to go anywhere near. It is based on a real life case. All three of these movies, I suppose, are one way or another based on real life. And in this case, it is the Butcher of Mons, who was a serial killer who left the body parts of a number of women in garbage bags on a roadside back in the 1990s. The case was never solved, and we're told about that at the very beginning of the film. Now, this movie is not about the Butcher of Mons, although he appears in it briefly as a character. This movie is about his grown children, who have become themselves, guess what, serial killers. The young man, his name is Felix, and he has taken over what his father used to do, and he goes out and he finds women who are on their own, and he kills them and dismembers them, and various horrors take place along those lines. His sister, Martha, they live together, by the way, also has severe psychological problems. It appears that she has some sort of hallucinations and apparently some sort of multiple personality disorder, because sometimes there is another Martha. Sometimes there are two Marthas in the house, and the one talks to the other one. So that's going on. And she also has a job working nights as a factory cleaner, where horrible things, real life things, happen to her. And she also has a social worker who comes to visit her and who ends up being on the very wrong side of this horrifying family. So that is basically what Megalomaniac is about. It's about a serial killer and the serial killer's deeply psychotic sister, and the various things that happen to these two over a period of time, and various horrible things happen to people that they run across as well. This is a movie which has every kind of horror in it, from serial killing to rape. It is, I think, extremely, extremely well done. That is to say, if you can get past the subject matter, it is just a beautifully directed film with very, very rich and detailed imagery. It was written and directed by Karim Welhadj, and it is just a superbly crafted film. But again, the subject matter is really, really, really troubling, and it's a pretty horrifying movie that goes out of its way to be kind of gross. So if you're into extreme horror, then this is definitely a movie to catch. Megalomaniac. It is right up your morbid, darkly lit alley. If you are not into that sort of thing, stay far away from Megalomaniac. But hey, the title itself would probably warn you about that. So that is my, I hope, not too megalomaniacal story this week.
For which we thank you. As always and ever, David Sterrett, Films in Focus. The films Dumb Money, My Love Affair with Marriage, and Megalomaniac.
Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.